This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Welcome, actually, back to Shrink Chicks.
Welcome back. We can finally say it.
We can finally say it. 3 weeks off.
How was your 3 weeks off?
I was with you the whole time. We were doing, because we were working on our e-course.
Yes.
Well, a lot of things have happened in 3 weeks, and one is a kind of a cool announcement. Should we tell everyone?
Tell everyone.
We got picked up by Podcast Network. We are officially new members of Podcast Nation. I am so excited.
I'm so excited.
So
it's just nice to be part of a community.
Because we love community. We love community over competition, baby.
Love it. We are so in for it.
So we're super excited. You'll hear more about that in upcoming weeks. But the one thing we're going to be fully transparent about is you're going to hear a few ads.
Yes. And, you know, because we want to keep providing free content for you guys.
But have to get paid eventually somehow. So here's the deal.
Because we're getting burnout otherwise.
So
we're going to be completely honest.
So here's the deal with ads. It's going to be fully transparent. It's going to be 100% things that we first vet and know about and only products we actually use. But we're going to have some ads. You'll know.
It'll be pretty obvious.
It's going to be real obvious, guys. So, okay. But you want to know what? Do you know what's kind of cool is this? Let's transition this into our topic for today, which is about the shoulds of life. Because there's a part about, we think we should do a certain thing. We should never have ads. We should always do this. We should always
great
do this.
Transition now.
I mean, well, it's a hard thing. When your job is yourself and your education and knowledge,
right. You're really the product.
And I really struggle with that.
Us being the product.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
I would like to give you a pair of earrings. In
right.
I would like there to be an exchange of goods, but there's no exchange of goods.
I mean, we did also get a cricket, so.
Oh, shit, we did get a cricket. Listen, if you guys don't even know about crickets, I am officially a Pinterest mom. I also made my daughter's pancakes the other day, little hearts. I sent you a picture of it, Jen.
No, you sent me the
Mickey,
like,
Mouse.
I don't know. I always, you know what I think?
She's not eating us.
I think to myself a lot, I think, how does Emily have this much energy?
ADHD.
It's really helpful. Can I have some?
It's the perfect combination of ADHD, anxiety, and then a little bit of depression and knock me down.
Really, I would really appreciate, if you could just send some my way. Mine's more just like, yes. I'm tired.
Yeah.
And I was
you're actually, just, you're like basically all downers. I'm a lot of uppers.
Yeah, I am just, I need a nap constantly.
You need a lot of naps.
Yeah, I was actually diagnosed with hypotiredness. Like, I swear.
Is that the clinical name?
I got a sleep study, and whatever it was, it translated into hypotired. You're just very tired. I swear to God.
I probably could have given you that diagnosis.
Anyway,
but I
can transition this one because I think we have a lot of ideas about you should get a certain amount of sleep.
Yes. Or how about you should, number one thing people wrote in, I should have children. I should know that I want to be.
I got hit with that one.
Right? I should know that I want to be a mother.
Mm.
I think that a lot of people are there, especially with this current climate of everything. There's this ongoing thing about like,
I should just know.
I should just know. And
well, it's the same thing in relationships. Like,
okay.
I should. I should know that this person is my person.
Okay. Full transparency.
No.
before I even ask the question.
But I have to say, and he would, okay, ask the question so people know what you're saying.
Okay,
I'm
so
just
the
reading
question
your mind.
Is, have you ever fully been sure of your person?
No, but I have to say, my husband tells me when he met me, he knew he was going to marry me, which is really nice, but I'm like,
is that
how?
True? Yeah, how did he know?
How did you know? Also, I'm not into that. Like, you didn't even know me.
He just thought you were really cute.
That right, exactly.
You had a like, nice tushy.
That's right.
A nice tookus.
Back then, my
good
tookus.
My tookus. Nice tookus.
My tookus.
Nice tookus. Okay. But it's true. People have the same thing. If I should know that I want to have children. I should know that I want to get married and have kids. By 30. That was the amount of people that wrote in a specific age about marriage by 30. Where did we all get that idea from?
I think, yeah. I think it's a generation above us.
Yeah, I guess
you're got married very young.
That's got to also be, don't you feel like that's also location-based? Because if you're in New York and you're not married at 30, I think that's normal.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, I also have to say.
And typical.
I think it, too, depends on, like, your group of friends, too,
wow,
right?
Great point.
Like, there
are
what
some, you're surrounded by.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so if all of your friends are getting married, it's going to feel like so much more pressure. Like,
yes.
Oh, I got to get this going. Like, what am I going to do? I can't go out by myself, which you absolutely can.
Yeah, you totally can.
You totally can.
But it doesn't feel like that, right?
Doesn't feel like that. But I think that it's who you're surrounded by. There's a lot, like, systemically, there's a lot of pressure around you.
And then I think some people are getting actual pressure from their parents and family members, right? So one of my best friends, you know who I'm going to be talking about. She's been with her boyfriend on and off. They had a long time of breaking up in between, but since high school. They met when they were 14 working at a laundromat. This person will know who I'm talking about. And they don't currently have kids. And one of the biggest things she's dealing with is her family brings up them not having children a lot.
Wow. Wait, so does she not want to have kids?
No, I think that they...
But
they,
it's just a lot of pressure around it.
It's just, it's they're still working out parts and dynamics of their marriage of how children are going to look. And that's the thing is, like, there's no perfect time to have a kid, but we all get forced into, like, following this chronological bullshit thing.
Yes.
And so that can make it incredibly difficult when actually bringing kids into a dynamic, it really changes things up a lot.
Well, and I think it's important to talk about why the shoulds could be bad, right? Because what it's doing is it's pushing an idea on you that might not fit for your life. And it might not be what you want for your life, might not be what you want for your family.
Yeah.
But that's why we wanted to bring this topic to light, because that's why it can be problematic in our lives, that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to do things that maybe we don't want.
Yeah. So let's start first. But one of the best ways you can start to figure out things about the shoulds is whose voice are you hearing? Mm-hmm. Right? When I have that little voice inside myself, oh, you better hurry up. You're going to...
Whose voice are you hearing?
For me, it's approval. The voice that I hear is about other people's approval.
Mm.
Because I'm a recovering people pleaser and I really want people to like me. And so I, for a very long time, have felt like if people liked me and approved of me, then like it said something about my worth.
Right.
So for me, a lot of my shoulds have been about like following like this one right direction. And I even think that professionally comes up, right? So like do the hours, get the license, go to the next step. And we've kind of talked about sometimes a part of therapy, it's a little pyramid schemey.
It is.
You got to pay to go to the next level to become a supervisor.
We could do a whole episode on that, but we probably shouldn't. We shouldn't.
Okay. This is such
a
great opportunity.
Also, can we insert some sort of like dun, dun, dun if we say should or something?
I don't know. Ask Ben. Ben, our new editor.
Ben.
He'll be in. He'll be doing it. So then let's talk about that. So in that moment when you said, but we shouldn't.
Yes.
For me, that was a place of fear.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think
that should was a fear should.
I think that my, because yours is approval, I think a lot of mine comes from fear.
Okay, will you talk more about that?
Yeah, well, I think, because we're talking a lot about shoulds, but I think we also talk about shouldn'ts, right? Like, we need to also, we're shoulding all over ourselves. I'm saving that one.
So it's such a good one.
It's good. I'm such a dad joke.
Yeah.
But I think shouldn'ts are also a big thing to talk about, because I think that for me, that comes from a lot of fear. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't. And I think, too, if I'm just thinking about my own family dynamic, that I have heard that a lot from my mom, who is like, you know, stay in a certain box as a woman. And so I think that there's a lot of fear around, like, okay, well, what if you get outside that box? Like, what if you do things? Like, I was always told, I don't know if you had this experience, but I shouldn't get certain piercings, or I shouldn't get tattoos, because no one's going to hire me. And also, Emily got a beautiful tattoo.
As I pull up my arm of my new huge tattoo.
But this is...
So my mom never said that. She just looked at me with complete disdain that I'd come home with those piercings. I've also had every color hair under the sun, and I've had, like, every piercing. I think my mom just holds her mouth shut, but I know she hates it.
So we were getting messages in different ways about what you should and shouldn't do.
Part of tattoos.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we both have Jewish mothers.
Oh, right.
So, like, there's also a part of, like, yeah, like, what having tattoos as a Jewish person is.
Right. But it's an example of, like, how... Like, you know, your family will say, or people will say to you, oh, you need to do things in a certain way, otherwise something bad's going to happen, right? And so I think that that, for me at least, has created a ton of anxiety about doing things. I mean, this podcast, right?
The scariest thing you've ever done.
The most terrifying thing. And I recorded a thing on our Instagram recently. I was like, I am ready to go. We took a nice break. I get up to this morning. I'm like, shit.
I got to do this.
But... the more that I challenge the shoulds and the shouldn'ts, the more I am stepping outside of my comfort zone and accomplishing things that feel right for me, right?
Like, if you were to make a list of how fear has gotten in the way of your life, right? What are the things that you haven't done due to fear? And, like, I think that's a really good activity. You can even pause this podcast right now and make a list and come back to us.
Oh, I love that.
Right? That, like, you know, what are the things your fear and the shoulds have kept you from?
Another thing I wanted to mention, and I was thinking this, and I don't know how on topic it is, but I'm still going to say it. Like,
great.
When I'm working with couples and I'm like, okay, so what would you want differently? Mm. And their response to them is, here's what I don't want, or here's what you shouldn't do. As opposed to, like, what do I want? What feels right for me?
Like, we can identify what we don't want.
And,
okay, hey, here's a question. Do you also think maybe people don't say what they want because if they say it out loud and don't get it, what happens?
Yeah, there's a lot of disappointment there.
Right? So if I say, okay, here's an example. I'm trying to think about someone, like, let's say you make the decision you want to, like, open up your marriage. Yeah. You want to invite another partner in or something.
Right.
Right? So instead of saying, like, well, what I don't want is for us to hate each other. Okay.
What do you want?
And the fear is saying, well, maybe I would like another partner, or maybe I'd like for sex to be more adventurous or more creative or different in some way.
I think sex is a big one that sex, it's really challenging
I think
for
sex
people to talk
is
about.
Huge with shoulds.
I think so too. Well, I also think that it's not necessarily, I mean, it is that people struggle to express what they want, I think, or I think people also struggle with knowing what they want, because I think that we're not necessarily socialized to be like, especially for women, we're not socialized to be like, well, what do you want? We're always thinking about others.
Oh, shit. So then if you start saying it, right, if you start actually saying out loud the things that you truly want in your life, what happens?
Right.
So, like, let's say, because we can't even say how many people, we should have counted how many people wrote in and said, know that I want to be a mother or have children.
Yeah.
So if you were to say out loud, I don't want children, or I truly don't know if I want to be a mother, what happens? If you do the things you think you shouldn't, what will happen in your life? And for a lot of us, I think it's about that fear of also loss of relationships.
Yeah, there's a fear of abandonment.
Absolutely, right? If I say these things, because, like, if you think about it, when we, like, really think about, all right, so this goes into, like, 1940s John Bowlby's work on attachment of the gorillas.
Yes.
You remember what I'm talking about?
And Mary Ainsworth.
And right? So that's
going to name, we're just going to psychology name drop right now.
Okay. So, but if you go to, like, John Bowlby's research, I don't wonder if I'm saying that name right.
No, you are. You totally are.
It's fine. He's a man. we can get it wrong for once. And so what it was like they had these, like, baby little chimpanzees, little baby babes. And they put them in with this one mama chimpanzee that was, like, fake but was covered in fur and was, like, soft and
cozy.
It
was, cozy. Like, a wire.
Yeah, and then there was a wire one, but the wire one had food.
Yeah.
The soft, cozy one did not have food. And time and time and time and again, the gorillas picked the one that was soft and cozy that did not have food over the wire one that did.
They need comfort. They need that comfort.
Which tells you that literally as human beings, when we talk about needs in life, community and comfort and attachment is bigger than food.
Wow. I mean, we could go into our whole discussion about The Handmaid's Tale from last night, but that could take us down a rabbit hole that we won't get out of.
Yes, yes. Which maybe we should do an entire episode on The Handmaid's Tale. If you watch The Handmaid's Tale, we want to hear, did you watch the first 3 episodes and binge watch them in one night the way that Jen and I did obsessively?
I was up until 3 a.m. I'm fine.
You're fine.
I'm fine, guys.
And speaking of shoulds, I always feel like I should have my hair down, but you know I only want to wear my hair in a top knot.
It looks gorgeous.
Thank you. And the best way to wear my hair in a top knot is 100% like the Do Edit scrunchies. I'm obsessed with them.
I love them. The scrunchies that Caitlin Brister sent us.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Okay, after we were on her podcast.
Yes. Which was, by the way, like for us was like a huge deal because we've always been a huge fan of her, but not just that, like the way that they have designed this company, the fact that it's, you know, it prioritizes sustainability. It's made in North America. It's sourcing environmentally friendly packaging, working with ethical local factories. Like, it's just a really good product, not even in quality, but just ethically.
Yeah. And also, I know, you know, I've talked to you, Em, about this a lot, but my hair is very thin. I have been on a hair journey to try to grow my hair out because
it's been like a sort of, like that's a tender subject for you.
Totally tender, very insecure about my hair. But anyway, I have to say these scrunchies are incredible because usually I have to wrap scrunchies around my hair like 8 times in order to get them to hold up. And then eventually it rips out my hair. With the Do Edit, I only have to wrap it around twice. There's something about it. It really holds my hair up. And then it does not rip my hair out when I'm trying to take it out of my hair. And I could use every piece of hair that I have.
Wait. And also I'll say that they have also these amazing barrettes too. And Millie, my daughter, wears the Goldilocks barrette set, obsessed. And it looks so adorable on her.
Adorable. So say goodbye to bad hair days with Do and spice up your daily wardrobe with a fun scrunchie or hair accessory. Use our one-time code SHRINKCHICKS for 15% off your first purchase with them at doedit.com. And subscribe to their newsletter. All newsletter subscribers get early access and front-of-the-line priority with exclusive access to shop all of their drops first. Do it.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blueland. Blueland is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blueland products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blueland proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blueland is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, a lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blueland has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
We got so off topic.
Well, no, but I think it goes into the fact that like our fear is that if we don't do these things people want from us, if we don't do this, what happens to the comfort attachment in my life?
Right. There could be rejection.
Rejection. If I don't have kids, how will my parents handle it? How will my partner handle that?
How will people see me? How will people in my community see me?
Well, and you know, as someone who is child-free by choice, but you're surrounded by a lot of moms now.
Oh, yeah. Everyone is pregnant.
So what's that like for you? Because isn't there a part of feeling like there's sometimes you don't have something? You're not going to talk about sleeping cues.
Right.
And baby-led weaning.
Here's the thing is that I'm not fully there yet. Like, okay. I still have...
Because they're so little.
Yeah, they're pregnant. So... Exactly. But I'm prepared. I am fully prepared.
Okay, so can you tell me how you prepare yourself? I think that would be important for people to
Absolutely.
Know.
So I've been preparing myself my entire life for this.
Because you've known.
I have known. And...
Were you always just hoping your brother had a kid?
Yeah, he will.
Oh, will he?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
I mean, I think that's the plan.
Yeah, okay, okay.
And so I have always, even when I was a kid, I struggled to like other kids. So... I kind of knew that was...
You know what? But you're, like, great with my kid.
Well, I love your kid. That's the thing is I love my friend's kids.
Yeah, you're so much. Good with
I
Millie.
Love
you're
her.
Very funny with her.
I know. And we sing together. It's
yes,
really
you
nice.
Do.
Well, it's different when they're not your kids.
No, but I mean, you kind of like kids now a little bit.
Kids that aren't mine.
But if you saw, like, a kid at, like, the grocery store, you wouldn't care about that kid.
Absolutely.
Okay. It's like, I want to clarify.
Like, it's like the fact that... It's half you.
Yeah. Well, some people genuinely hate kids.
Yeah. Oh, no. I like
which is fine.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
is,
yeah.
That's your choice.
I don't.
Get,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
That can be frustrating.
It's like the fact that you created a human that I can talk to
yeah.
is so cool.
Yeah.
So I
she
just
does talk. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
So, and I love that. And also, I would really like if she took care of me when I was older.
Yeah. I already told her she
so,
has to.
Okay,
I mean, she's
so,
two, but.
Yeah. So if we could put like a lot of pressure
she
on
has
her to take
the
care
should.
Of me.
It's already doing it to my kid.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
So,
how are you preparing yourself?
The way in which I'm preparing myself is I'm thinking about it constantly. Like, I understand that it might be an isolating experience when all of my friends start having children and start talking about that, and that there's going to be times in which I'm not able to contribute.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking about that and knowing that that's part of it. It's just going to be part of this experience.
Mm.
I also have to remind myself that doesn't mean my friends don't love me. It doesn't mean I can't connect with them in other ways. I can go to their friends, their children's birthday parties. And...
Well, also you get to be the cool friend that we all like.
Exactly.
We're like, oh, I'll go on a vacation with you.
Exactly.
I'll go, right. I'll have us. We had a great sleepover a few weeks ago.
Right.
Right
oh,
yeah.
Such a good one.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm going to be the one that like everyone gets away with, like
okay.
gets away from their
all
family.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think I'm being very realistic about what these transitions are going to look like. Well,
and it sounds like you've given yourself a ton of space to process it as opposed to just hoping it doesn't happen. Because that's unrealistic.
Yes. And I think...
and people need to... we have to remember that. That, like, just hoping shit doesn't happen is not the most ideal coping skill.
Well, I think that... and sometimes that comes out of fear, right? So if I am fearful that I'm going to feel isolated in this experience, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to feel isolated. Like, I don't want to feel isolated if all my friends are having kids, blah, blah, blah. It's more like, okay, I might feel isolated. And that's okay, you know? Like, with transition comes difficult emotions to process.
Ugh.
But the more you can process through that and accept those emotions, the easier it's going to be to get through it.
So for you, what were those emotions you feel like you had to process through and you have to continuously process through?
So I think, once again, I don't think I'm there yet, but my assumption of the emotions is that there are going to be times where it's going to feel isolating for me.
Okay.
Which is okay. I've been isolated before.
Well, I'm wondering.
Who hasn't?
Oh, well, it's so true. But for some people, that's, like, the worst feeling, right?
So
I... And for some people, there's, like, actual trauma and emotional wounds wrapped up into isolation.
Totally.
Where they, like, because maybe they were kicked out of a friend group or bullied.
Absolutely.
Or
and
left.
Who,
yes.
Once again, like, who hasn't had an experience like that?
And especially for those of us, it brings it to something... Another thing I think we don't talk about enough, we talk a lot about, you know, if you were yelled at a lot for kids, but we don't talk enough about if you were given the silent treatment as children.
Oof. And like what, neglect.
And that, and exactly. And the emotional wounds that can leave.
Yes. I was just going to jump in and think, because I'm thinking about, like, okay, in that isolation, like, what do you do with it?
Yeah.
Right? Like, if that, so if those emotional wounds are triggered, mm-hmm. right, there is a bunch of things you could do with it. You could run away from it and say, I don't want this. And so some people further isolate.
And numb out.
And numb out.
And that's
out.
When you probably start using drugs, alcohol,
exactly.
eating disorder, any other numb
and also,
behavior.
And also, the thoughts that might come with that is, oh, I'm isolated because people don't like me. Or I'm isolated because... And so you really have to check your own thoughts there. Like, no, you're isolated because this is an experience that you can't share in.
Yeah.
Right? And that's okay.
So was there ever a time with me that you felt that isolation in motherhood?
No.
Okay. Well, that's... It's
you
just,
know
no,
that's
you have to
not
tell
true.
The truth.
I am. Because here's the thing.
I'm going to do that thing where you look into the camera.
Is it like The Office?
In The Office, like.
And I hope, I wish, like, we could, like, zoom in. Should we turn this into, like, an office?
Only if I can be Dwight.
100% you can be Dwight. So, no, honestly, I have never felt that way. Because also, it's not like we're in a group of moms.
I guess that's true.
You
our relationship is about this business.
Exactly.
We don't talk about anything.
Exactly. Just the business. We have another life besides this.
Yes, yeah, it's great.
But I assume that it's more like in a group setting that
yes.
that would be difficult. So anyway, that's a time in which instead of accepting that those times can be difficult, I could be saying to myself, well, maybe I should have a kid so that I'm not isolated, so that I don't feel this.
Okay.
Right? That could be a time in which I'm shitting myself.
Yeah.
But it isn't something that's right for me. And so instead of saying, oh, my God, I can't feel isolated, it's, okay, if I feel isolated, it's okay. I will work through it. Doesn't mean my friends don't love me. Doesn't mean I can't connect with them in other ways.
Okay, let's transition over. I love this.
Yes.
And so the other second most popular thing I think I brought up was around perfectionism.
Oof.
Things, I can't make mistakes. I can never mess up. I have to always be productive. I have to always know what I'm doing career-wise.
That's a huge one.
Which is some imposter syndrome shit, right? Like that, this perfectionism. But I think let's talk a little bit about that perfectionism because I think that can really, really go into the shoulds. And also there is like other online cultures like grind culture, hustle culture.
Well, I also think when you're...
Hustle, baby.
When you're...
What are those like, those things you'd buy at Hobby Lobby, the little sign?
Oh, it was like...
Not live, laugh, live, but like...
Hustle.
Hustle.
We should get some of those motivational posts. Like hustle. I don't know. I'll figure
that's
it out.
For me, that's a demotivator. I don't like when people tell me.
Or we should get like demotivational. Same.
Right.
I hate, like if someone's like trying to encourage me, right? Like if I'm working out or something and someone's like, keep going. Like, yeah, like you got this. Work harder. I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, I don't want that.
No. I am going to just relax.
Which is why we don't do that well in workout classes.
Which is why when we do hot yoga, we stay in child's pose for 90 minutes.
Okay, so we had an experience in grad school where we were like, we're going to do this 90-minute hot yoga class.
We were
like, wait, to be fair, Neither of us did yoga.
Nope.
Why did we do that?
I don't know. I think
we just wanted to go to a sauna.
I hate to blame it on you, but I think it was your suggestion.
You know it was me. Oh,
100%.
My God. Jen, you know it was me. It's not always my dumb. Every bullshit thing you've had to do is because of me, honey.
And usually I'm like, oh, shit. And then you get me like a glass of wine and I'm like, I am in.
I picked you up at your apartment. I was like, we're going to go to West Philly. We're going to go to this 90-minute hot yoga class.
And I'm just like,
really
sure.
Good.
That's how I get anything done is people just force me to do it.
Okay. Which, and you know, at the beginning of the class, they're always like, and if this practice is too much for you today, you can just take child's pose. We were in child's pose for probably 78 of those 90 minutes.
It was too much for
just
us.
Just laughing. And sweating.
It was
and
I so swear hot to God, in there.
After that first class, I never stopped sweating after that.
It was so hot in there. I'm sorry. How were people not passing out?
I don't know. It seemed
people
unsafe.
Were like on one limb. Not passing out.
We were laying on it. We were sleeping.
It was a nice nap,
but
though.
But that's also another funny thing to talk about, like what I should do with workouts.
Yes.
Right? Like I should, everyone else is doing
it.
You do not have that. Well, yeah, but babe, that's thin privilege.
Oof, it so is.
It's totally thin privilege for you, where I think when you're in a bigger body, it feels like you should always be trying to lose weight. And also, anytime you work out when you're in a larger body, people are like, oh, good for you. Way to take care of yourself. It's like, the fuck? I'm just like literally riding on a goddamn bicycle.
Right. Like, go fuck yourself.
But that's like a real thing when you're in a bigger body.
100%. That there's like a pressure.
Yes. You should always be doing that.
But I think too, once again, from like all the processing we do, that my workout for me is more about my mental health. Once again.
How is your workouts going?
I went for a run this morning.
Oh my gosh, you did? That's very impressive for you.
In the rain.
I didn't mean to say that for you. That's impressive for anyone. But I also know it's impressive for you.
It is impressive for me. I am not offended.
Because you're not a morning person.
I'm not a morning person. Yes, I'm also not a,
Because I called you yesterday at 9:30 and you were
asleep. That was because I watched The Handmaid's Tale until 3 a.m. Please forgive me.
It's because it's 6 a.m. I'm like, what are we doing? Let's go. Okay. I think this goes into part of this, like never mess up, right? Like. This also goes back into some stuff we talked about in terms of our self-compassion episode about people that have more self-compassion are able to see themselves who they are, actually recover from mistakes much sooner than people that do not, right? People with higher self-esteem actually struggle to correct mistakes as opposed to people that have higher self-compassion are right. Like, all right, fucked up, keep it moving.
Because that's the thing is that, and I think that there's this mentality of if you don't do something that you set out to do, okay, I'm going to beat myself up so that I do it next time or that I'm able to do it. Here's the thing is that when you beat yourself up, you're actually demotivating yourself. You're making yourself feel like shit. And when you feel bad about yourself, of course you're going to have no motivation.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks. Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
So, instead, giving yourself the permission to be human and not be able to accomplish maybe everything that you set out in that day, that needs to be okay. Especially if you've had a long work week and you're exhausted and you can't get things done around the house this weekend, give yourself permission to rest.
Yeah.
You need it.
And I think like this is a really hard one because I've heard people say like, yeah, but like I've been giving myself permission to rest and give myself permission to treat myself like, and now I don't do anything.
Right. Well,
right. And, like, so, and that's all of our fears, that if we start doing this, if we start letting ourselves have food freedom, have expectation freedom.
Or cry. If anything, I let myself cry, I'll never be able to stop. That's right? Another very
I feel this all the time, especially with people with eating disorders. If I start allowing myself to eat everything, I'm never going to stop eating.
It's like it's like either you're in complete control or completely out of control.
Yes.
And so the question is, how do you find the balance, right? That like being in complete control is not feasible. It's also not possible.
It also doesn't sound very happy.
No.
But
it sounds very stressful.
But there was a lot of feedback yesterday, Decoding Couples, one of our friends on Instagram.
And we're gonna hop on an Instagram live.
Instagram live with them next month. But our friends, they're both LMFTs, and they put up a really good post about parentification yesterday.
And we're gonna do an episode on that.
And we have an episode coming up about parentification. And here's the deal about that is that like if I ask you this question right now, think to yourself, at what age should I stop being a child? Most of us are not going to answer 18. Most of us are not going to answer 16. It's going to be when I started knowing information about my parents' relationship. Maybe I shouldn't. It's when I started to have stress about our financial situation growing up. It's when I started to look around and see the political climate, right? So when I ask people in session, what age did you stop being a child? Often I hear 10. 11, 12,
5,
6. Yes, right? These young ages. And so when you have that a very adulted childhood and when you had to maybe take on more responsibility than we think children should be able to handle developmentally, this can become very complex for then what happens. And it can lead to a lot of resentment in your adulthood, in your marriage, and in a parenting style. If I've been parenting other people forever, there's a good chance I don't want to be a parent.
Right, you burn out at the end of the day.
I have been always taking care of my siblings and my parents, maybe I have nothing left to give. Or if I've always taken care of them, maybe when it comes to parenting, I really struggle to let my partner in because I've been doing this for so long.
You're like, I already know
maternal gatekeeping.
Right, and it's you're like, I already know what I'm doing. I've already been doing this for so long. And so, you are gatekeeping in your parenting.
Right.
And so, but I think this kind of perfectionism we're talking about, it's also something that's very much kind of supported through social media too.
Yeah.
Like I will go through TikTok. You know those.
I don't know. You know I had to delete TikTok because I got unhealthy.
No, and so this, but I'm noticing. I am noticing it.
It wasn't safe for me anymore.
Yeah. You made the space safe for yourself by deleting TikTok, which is wonderful. But when you go through TikTok, like there's those videos of like, here's my morning. Right?
Oh my! Wait,
I can't take
I
that.
I cannot.
I think about
what's the morning routines. First of all, bullshit. Bullshit. Do you want to know my morning routine?
Yeah, I was just going to say, can we please do a TikTok about our morning routine? Mine's going to be like roll around in bed for a little. Like,
I just don't buy it. If you actually do that, you know what? That's fucking amazing and good on you.
And if it feels good for you, right? Like
that's
if you're doing
great.
It feels good for you, that's wonderful. If you're doing it to put a level of pressure on yourself because you see everyone else doing it,
or you want to hold it over other people's heads,
or you want to be like, this is what I do every morning, and that there's such a level of control and it's not making you happy.
Yes.
That's where you can question it. What was your morning routine? I'm sorry. I'm so excited.
Usually the dog, my monstrous dog, comes over, puts his big skull in my face.
And is he like, does have such a big skull.
He's a huge head. And then I hear my toddler on the monitor saying, "Mommy, mommy.
Is she speaking into it like a walkie-talkie?
No, but it's just loud. You can hear it.
Can we use those as walkie-talkies at some point?
For sure. I could just buy us walkie-talkies.
Or just bring in baby monitors. We could see. Maybe we could talk to each other from, like, different rooms in the office. Yeah, no, I don't know. We could just use a cell phone. I'm not sure.
I did bring in Dunkaroos today as our snack.
Oh, I can't wait.
I did show up to the office today with a pack of Dunkaroos.
It's going
to
be really my present after this.
Yes. So I think that, my morning. So that's my morning. It's a fucking. And
I think we should do a funny. We should do our morning routine on TikTok.
No
one wants to see it. I like lay in bed.
It's not
for
inspiring.
Minutes,
it's
telling
real.
Myself to get up. It's real, but that's why we should do it. Because, but my point is that there is such pressure around things like that, where it's like, oh, this is what I do, and there's an idea around it, like that this is what you have to do to be happy, or like this is what you do.
Yeah.
This is what you have to do to feel good.
Remember when you did the 5 a.m. club because you read that book?
Yep.
How long did that last?
I think I had COVID during it. I think I got COVID because I wasn't getting enough sleep.
Dude, what?
Okay, my point was, waking up in the morning early feels really good for
me. It does.
Me.
I mean, like, okay, let's not lie. The productivity feels good. We love feeling
so
successful.
Good.
When you have a highly productive day, you're like, oh my God, I'm the most
I'm like,
amazing.
Oh, I can tackle anything.
Yeah, so it's not a lie. You get actual positive reinforcement and endorphins from that. Like, this is
but,
made up.
But, so I was reading, I know I've talked about this, I was reading this book, The 5 a.m. Club, and so I was waking up every morning at 5 a.m., and there were these, like, very specific things you had to do. The problem was, I did not feel the same every morning, right? Like, I would wake up some morning and be so exhausted.
Because our bodies aren't the same.
Bodies
every
aren't
day.
Exactly. And some days you wake up anxious. Some days you wake up depressed. Some days, you know, like there were days where I'm like, this feels great. And there were days where it felt horrible. And I was so
tired. Especially with allergies right now.
Oh my God.
With allergies. My mornings have been very
rough.
I feel
sick.
Yes. Okay. So I think that that's the right thing. It's like, how do I help self? How do I have that compassion and release the shoulds for each day as it comes?
And I think overall, right? Like our overall message. In so many different ways, is how do you listen to yourself? And we so often have gotten pulled out of that, right? The shoulds pull us out of listening to ourselves. And so the more you listen to what you want, how you feel, and ask yourself that question on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
I'll have some of my clients who aren't as in tune with their emotions, I'll have them print out a feelings chart and ask themselves every day how they're feeling.
I love that.
Because
and very easy to find, guys. Just Google feelings chart.
Google feelings chart and put it on your mirror.
Yeah.
Right when you're brushing your teeth. I want you to ask yourself.
They also have very cute ones on Etsy. My daughter's playroom is surrounded by them.
It's amazing, right? So she'll always know how she feels.
We'll find out.
But it creates a level of connection with yourself. Which I think with the outside world putting so much pressure on us, you should do this, you shouldn't do this, that it creates a level of connection with ourselves that we're very easily pulled away from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what we're talking about is being more connected with yourself, your wants, your needs, in order to live a happier life.
Mm-hmm. There's a few other things that people had said, but a lot of it was about like be more productive, study more, like this idea of like more or enough.
Go to college.
Which these are very ambiguous terms. Enough, right? Did I work out enough? Did I try hard? We hear this a lot with couples therapy.
Oh my God!
Yeah. How often do you hear the word enough? Of like, well, how do we know when it's time to end the relationship? How do I know when I tried hard enough? Enough is an ambiguous term.
It's different for everyone.
There is no thing of enough. It's made up. And I think that that also is something, especially if you struggled with disordered eating. That's a huge part.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, this enough notion.
And I also think people so badly want us to tell them. They want someone on the outside to tell them what's enough, right?
Yeah.
Like people, you know, like clients will come to us and be like, can you just tell me what to do?
All the time.
Constantly. And like, I would love to be able to just like have answers.
Yeah.
But it's different for everyone.
Sometimes I do tell people what to do. If it's like they're dealing with a jerk boss.
Or like
I'll suggest write up a text.
Yes, I'll
like
suggest ways of like communicating. Right. Because that's helpful.
And like realistically, are we supposed to do that? Should we do that with our clients? Probably not. I mean, if we...
Actually, I don't know.
If we had the heads of the therapy field...
Who here, are they?
I don't know. They're definitely white and they're definitely men.
100%.
For sure. So if we had them here, they'd probably be like, no, let your clients get to it on their own. But right. You know what? Sometimes we just want someone to help me craft a text.
Well, that's the
doesn't
thing.
Doesn't have to be so...
But if we have tools to help them communicate, they yes. could use that for the future. It's psychoeducation.
Psychoeducation. And here's yours for the day. All right. So listen, things you should do today. Take care of yourself.
Listen to yourself.
That's it. That's what you got. And everything else, think about what's the emotion behind it. Why do you keep shooting on yourself? Is it the fear? Is it the approval? Like, go a little bit deeper to understand that for yourself about what's keeping this moving in this direction.
And once you start challenging that and recognizing people are going to be there for you and the people who aren't there for you when you're following what you want and what you need, that's okay. Maybe they shouldn't be in your life to begin with.
Shouldn't. Next week's episode, we're going to talk about the myths of couples counseling. Therapy. We haven't talked a ton about couples therapy, and we have one of our amazing clinicians, Nicole Lewis, licensed marriage and family therapist, coming on in. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed today's episode, you can rate, review, subscribe. You can follow us at Shrink Chicks, seeing one of our amazing therapists at the therapy group. And more than anything, take care of yourselves.
Take
and
care
we
of
love
yourselves.
You.
We love you.
Hey guys, I'm Alana Dunn, and I'm the host of Seeing Other People. As an early Hinge employee, a modern dater, and now a fiancé, I know the dating world maybe a little too intimately. I'm here to make you feel less alone in your dating journey, whatever it may look like. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Whether you're looking for love or just want to laugh and commiserate with others, tune in to Seeing Other People as we explore the roller coaster that is the ever-evolving world of dating.